1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian podcast is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Safety and well-being of guests and associates are top priority. Temporarily closing was the right thing to do, and when timing is right, the movie experience will return. Updates at MarcusTheaters.com.
It's time to talk music news with our music expert, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you? Gary? Yeah, let's try that again. Gary, good morning. How are you?
All right. How are you doing?
Very well. How was your Seder dinner last evening?
Last couple evenings. They were trippy. You know, everybody's doing them on Zoom.
Yeah.
And you walk in with whoever you're doing your Seder with and, you know, do the praying.
Well, they're a little more intimate this year, correct?
Well, it's intimate, yeah. I mean, obviously you're at home and you're not around a big table with a lot of people, but via these, you know, it depends how large the size of your Zoom community is. Last night I did one with my synagogue here, and we had 80-odd accounts logged in, and if you figure everybody's got one or two other people at the table, you know, technically you're having your Passover dinner with, 160.
What's your mass capacity, your max capacity on Zoom?
I don't know. I'm curious about that. I've never been in a situation yet where that's been an issue.
So could you tile it where you could see everybody at the same time? Because I know
not everybody, but you can see a bunch of people. Then you can scroll to the next page, and you have the Brady Bunch or Hollywood Squares effect on the screen. So it's an interesting way to do it. Don't necessarily want it to be the new way of the world, but... But, you know, it's a better alternative than sitting at home with, yourself.
Right, just one empty bowl.
Easter, Good Friday.
So when you do this, does everybody has to make their own food now, correct?
Right, correct.
And the Seder dish or the Seder plate that's passed usually is just for you and maybe whoever's in your house, right?
Right, yeah, and you can show it to the camera, I guess.
Okay.
Hey, I've got one.
Okay. No, I.
You can juggle your matzo balls for everybody, and
turns it into a cooking show. But you can't compliment the taste of someone else's. You know,
no, you can't.
Ooh, Martha, the matzo balls are great.
Can you buy frozen matzo balls?
I've never bought frozen. I usually just go out and to a place that makes them.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you could get stuff that's prepared. You don't have to make everything at home from scratch, because I'm thinking, wow, this would really be intensive. I have to make all these different dishes for Passover.
Yeah. But the thing is, you just dial it down a little,
Okay.
It doesn't have to be the mega course meal that you might ordinarily have.
Did other people show you their Seder plates that they had?
Yeah, there were people showing okay.
Did you see
nobody
anything?
Juggled matzo balls.
Did you see anybody who cheated and put pizza rolls or something in there?
I did not see any of that.
Pizza rolls are not part of...
No,
you the can't, Passover.
Do, can't do pizza rolls, can't do, can't do hot dogs in a bun.
All right, well, let's start with the sick list this morning.
Yeah, this was a tough week with really, they're all biggies, but, a couple of particular notables. John Prine, who passed away Tuesday, one of our great treasured songwriters. And, he had gone in, the week before, or actually, I think it was, even the week before, and then his wife posted a message that he was actually getting better, and I think everybody had assumed it had passed, but we got this word, so that hit everybody hard. There's a lot of wonderful tributes to him on the internet, people covering his songs, and then Hal Wilner, not a household name, but somebody who worked with Saturday Night Live, who produced a lot of very interesting albums. Interesting collaborations, among them the Metallica Lou Reed Lulu album, which certainly one of the most notable moments, but not one of the shining moments if you ever listen to it. But he passed away during the week as well. Some of the folks who identified themselves as having the COVID virus: Christopher Cross, John Taylor of Duran Duran, Marianne Faithfull, Bobby Rush, the blues artist, Sarah Bareilles. And then Pink, who followed up, she and her young child, I think 2.5 years old, both had the virus. But then she followed that up by donating $1 million to a variety of organizations that are dealing with medical organizations that are dealing with the struggle and the fight against it.
She recovered now?
I think so. I think so. As you keep reading and the few people around here who I know who have had it. It's one of those things. There's a recovery from the recovery. I mean, it takes a little while, it sounds like, before you get up and running at full steam again. And then they want to take your plasma. So
yeah, because that'll knock you for
another couple of days.
They've got antibodies, correct?
Right, exactly.
And right.
So using that as a way to treat it.
Boy, that's very science fiction-y. Now you have valuable blood. It sounds like, you know,
it is
Will Smith would be running from people or something.
We're sending a vampire to your house.
Yeah.
You know, be ready at 3 o'clock.
Well, it gets really sci-fi-y when the government demands it. You know, and they roll up in a van and you're hustled out.
Put you on a farm with special people.
So there's the lighter side of coronavirus.
Well, there is. I mean, you know, listen, Saturday Night Live's coming back tomorrow night.
But they're going to do it.
They're going to be doing it remote. Everybody, you know, the various sketches are done remotely. There will be some interaction, you know, because, again, you know, technologies like Zoom allow you to interact. And, you know, as long as you have somebody quarterbacking the broadcast in a control room, or a control room can be on your laptop these days. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. And what they do, you know, the thing that I've noticed watching a lot of these shows, whether it's music or the late night shows, is dealing with it without applause or laughter, you know, without audience reaction. Some are handling it better than others.
Well, they're used to basing their timing on
audience reaction, and now it's
just like you're just in there saying lines.
Yeah, so they're really having to learn, you know, everybody's having to learn, again, musicians or you know, hosts are learning how to be actors.
They could call on their former head writer, Tina Fey. There was no laugh track in 30 Rock.
No, there wasn't. And there were other shows that there haven't been any laugh tracks, but this is very different for all of these artists to be doing this without any audience reaction. The little comments sections, you know, that you have online don't quite do the same thing.
They'll get crushed on social media. Everyone will say how it sucked because that's what you do if you're cool. You crush things.
Right.
And it shows your sophistication.
And that you're better than the people who are trying to perform in front of you. Right, yeah.
Right, but there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of very clever people on Saturday Night Live in this particular iteration. So I think it's got a shot to be interesting, if not great. But I think it'll be worth watching, and they of course will pay tribute to Hal Wilner and John Prine as well. So it'll be interesting to see how they do that.
Seth Meyers did a thing. I don't know if it was at the end of his show or if he just posted it online about John Prine.
Oh yeah, everybody
and,
did.
Yeah,
Prine. There's tons.
But he also mentioned the guy from Saturday Night Live too.
Yeah, well, he was a big deal. I mean, he Hal Wilner was a major, you know, Grammy award winning producer. I mean, this guy, you know, he was no small figure, but you know, not a household name.
But according to this tribute by Seth Meyers, he would also tell you how New York is the most boring place in the world now compared to the 70s.
Well,
when he said New York was just on fire as far as things to do and
excitement. It was on fire, and then, you know, it was a little, let's say, in that particular crowd, a little bit snowy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how you could yearn for the 70s in New York, you son of Sam and...
Son of Sam and cocaine.
Cocaine, right. It's, I don't know
what
that guy wants.
He liked it. You know, he had Belushi getting hot balled or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
But that wasn't in New York. That was when he was on vacation someplace. And that was actually the 80s.
Right, but it still fits.
We have postponements, too. The latest postponements. Isn't everything postponed already?
Well, because things, as we're starting to get more into the summer, the My Chemical Romance is postponing their tour, which had done, like, sellout business. This was their first tour in, I think, 15 years or something, and it was going to start in mid-June, and they're gone. Tool postponed the rest of their year tour. Gwen Stefani is postponing her May shows, residency shows in Las Vegas. The Rocklahoma Festival has been canceled, in 2021. Pretty Reckless canceling their spring dates, and the CMT Music Awards are moving from June to October 14th. So, and then more will be coming. James Taylor, Jackson Browne, I think we had that last. So I think that broke as we were on the air last week. And you'll be seeing more. I mean, nobody still knows, you know, when venues will be able to really get up and running and when they'll get the all clear to do, you know, gatherings of hundreds or thousands.
And to show that things, there are still some things that are going on out there that were going on before and that continue to go on now. A judge dismissed the lawsuit against Universal and their fire and all the lost tapes that we talked about a few months ago.
Right. Yeah. So this was a fire that took place in whatever year it was. It's blurring now. I think the fire was in 2008 at their warehouse that had all these hundreds of master recordings. I'm sorry, thousands of master audio recordings and Nirvana, REM, Hole, Beck, Soundgarden. Janet Jackson, the list goes on, Tom Petty, yada, yada. So there was a class action suit, more than $100 million against Universal that people have gradually dropped out of. In fact, the only one still in the lawsuit this week was Jane Petty, who the former wife of Tom Petty. She had an interest in his recordings via their divorce settlement. A federal judge ruled against that and threw the case out, basically the rationale being that because of record company contracts that were common at the time, these recordings were owned by Universal. So, basically Universal could do anything they wanted with them, up to and including burning them on purpose if they wanted.
But it was an accident.
This was, of course, an accident. But, the judge, and I think this is why so many people were dropping out, the lawyers were saying, look, this is the way this ruling was going to go. The tapes belong to the company. The songs belong to you, but the tapes belong to the company, and the judge is not going to rule in your favor.
I'm still not sure exactly what was lost, because you said there are other copies in other places that are being stored, but if they're masters or originals...
These are what were known as the original master. In other words, when you're Tom Petty, you record... Full Moon Fever, and you go through the process, you record it, you get it mixed, you get it mastered, and mastered is basically the final copy, the final draft of your recording, and that's the one that they make the recording you get at home, whether it's an LP or a CD or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's what was in the warehouse.
So the raw tape of those...
Well, there may have been some raw tapes, as well. So, they have not documented completely what was in there, and maybe never will.
I can't imagine how big that warehouse is.
It's huge. There was a lot of, and this was just the music part of it. There were movies and, all sorts of other things.
What did they have for fire prevention or?
Not enough, apparently.
Well, even if you have a sprinkler,
but what
even if you have a sprinkler system and you're spraying water all over those tapes.
Right.
Yeah, that's not great, but it's better than
burning. No, and clearly they weren't stored in anything. I mean, they were. They were in cardboard. A lot of them were in cardboard boxes. So they weren't necessarily stored in anything that was going to protect them.
Wow, if you were an artist and you knew that, and you said, I don't want you storing my master tape this way. I know you own the rights to it, but...
Right, yeah. Or, if you're an artist, you buy them the fireproof, waterproof case and say, here, put them in there.
Yeah.
Hopefully they've learned a lesson from this, and now so much is digital, it's just about backup. And hopefully the zip drive that's part of your backup .
Yeah, but then there's people like you and me, Gary, who go, yeah, but it was recorded in analog and now you've transferred it to digital and you lose something from the transfer, right?
Right.
Isn't that what a lot of them will say?
Oh, yeah. Listen, you have lost something profound by losing an original master tape. You have.
Yeah.
We still have the music with us, and I always challenge people about, okay, tell me that this CD you're listening to is, what's wrong with it? What can you perceptibly tell that's different from any other form or an LP recording?
Or a streaming service when you're driving along with your car window open.
Right.
You can't tell the difference.
Singing along.
Yeah. Right, you can't tell the difference. It sounds
you really can't.
Nice and clean.
Sorry, audiophiles. I'm one too, but let's not be snobs.
Yeah, I thought that a long time ago. You can't tell the difference. Don't tell me you can. Here, I can predict how this will end. Nickelback has a documentary on the way. Nickelback will finish the documentary.
What did you say about haters earlier?
Everyone will watch it, and then they'll start on social media about how Foo Fighters would have done it better.
Right. Or about how it proves what a crap band they are.
Because they just can't
win. All they did was sell millions of records.
Yeah.
But I guess the guitarist, Ryan Peake, revealed in one of his new social media posts this week that this documentary about Nickelback is he says very close to being released, and they haven't said who's working on it or anything like that. I think we would have heard if it was somebody like Banger Films, who did the Rush documentary and the ZZ Top and some of the other really good ones. But, you know, it'll be interesting. There's a story there about Nickelback, and you just hope they address the hater thing, because few bands have been as hated as this band.
It's got to be part of the documentary, doesn't it? Why does everybody rip?
Hopefully they can laugh about it.
On Chad Kroeger, what is the problem? The guy just writes hits.
Yeah, they write hit songs, and they are this generation's Bachman Turner Overdrive. You know, they were, and that's not necessarily. I don't think that's an insult.
And they're both from Canada.
Right, they're both from Canada.
Yeah,
probably shared management somewhere along the way.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but so that'll be. We don't have a release date or much more in the way of details, but it's coming. So sharpen your knives.
All right. How excited should I be about this news? Runaways' Cherry Curry is doing what? She has a new album coming out.
Yeah. I mean, I like. It's actually Cherie.
I'm sorry.
I didn't know that either for a long time. So she is going to release on April 28th. So this month, it's an album called Boulevards of Splendor, and she has a nice list of guests on it: Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins, Slash from Guns N' Roses, also Duff McKagan. From Guns N' Roses, Matt Sorum, who was with Guns N' Roses and has worked with Cherie quite a bit, she does cover Runaway song, at least one on the album, and we'll take a listen. She had a really good album out last year that she did with one of the members of Fanny, and that was actually a good album, good rock and roll album.
There's no sign of Joan Jett on this thing, is there?
No, they don't not get along. But they're not like, you know, bosom buddies or anything like that. And that was a really bad term to use. I'm sorry.
All right.
In case you saw the Runaways movie, you'll understand that. Also coming out, by the way, a week from today is a brand new day, the last Eddie Money album. This has been something he had been working on for a while. I'm not sure how finished it was or wasn't, but they're going to release it digitally next week, and it'll be his first album of new material since 1999.
All right, let's end here. Paul Stanley's dad turned 100 this past
week. This was kind of a nice story. So Mr. Eisen Senior, you know, turned 100, and of course, you know, in our, you know, quarantine days, there wasn't that much that Paul Stanley could do about it, but when he posted about it on social media, apparently Mr. Eisen, that's William DeYou, got a ton of cards, social media messages, other birthday wishes. I think, you know, people who knew even, you know, drove up towards the house to wish him happy birthday from an acceptable distance. So that was a nice kind of thing to read about.
How does he get around?
You don't turn 100 very often. So
standing upright or in a wheelchair?
Yeah, apparently he's in, you know, reasonable shape.
Yeah.
You know? So you know, what a nice boy Paul was, and what a nice thing for his dad.
Yeah. Paul, you know, when Paul turns 100, I'm sure he and Gene have a show scheduled for that night somewhere.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Gene
got to wait a few more years.
Gene will blow fire and then go to his respirator.
30 years, 25 years for that.
It's not
that'll be on that year's farewell tour.
Farewell tour. Exactly.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
All right. You guys stay safe and healthy
out
there.
You too.
Talk to you next week.
Take care.
Gary Graff.